intention that came out during the course of that series. And Nathan, I appreciate you putting that on Facebook last week. He posted that as soon as the service was over. And I really felt, now maybe when it was said, that I really didn't even realize the truth to the statement, because sometimes it just happens that way. But God really showed me something as I reread what was spoken and you put on there. And it was, the fatherhood of God is not based on your performance. It's based on God's nature as Father. He's Father, period. He's Father. That's who He is. And He's not just Father when we're good boys and girls. He's Father because that's His nature. He is Father. And there's something that we need to learn from that, because there's a comfort in knowing that God is your Father. There's a strength that comes. My little girl. How many of you have seen this crazy clown stuff or creepy clown stuff that's going on? My little, I don't even know what that's all about. I almost just think there are a bunch of sickos in this world anymore, but I don't know. I'm going to leave it alone. But my little daughter said to me today, she came home from school and she said, "Daddy, the kids at school were scared today that a creepy clown was going to come onto the playground and get us." And she looked at me and this is what she said, "I don't have to worry, do I, Daddy, because you're going to protect us." That's what my five-year-old daughter said. She doesn't have to worry about the things that the other kids have to worry about. In her mind, she doesn't have to, because she has a Father who she knows will protect her. Do you see the strength that comes? And here's the thing. We need to look at our Heavenly Father like that. That's the way we need to view God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So the title of this series is, Who is Like Our God? Let's go ahead and get started. Psalm chapter 113 is our text for this series. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. If you've ever wondered why we praise the Lord in this church, if you ever would say, "Well, I went to a church where they didn't sing as long as you do it. I kind of liked it better there. Their services were shorter. The preacher didn't preach as long. The music didn't last as long." Let me just tell you, you're not going to like heaven then. You're really not going to enjoy heaven at all, because heaven is a place where praise will never cease. In the throne of God, I was just reading this, in the throne room of God, there is constant praise being lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The 24 elders fall down as the angels declare that the Lord is holy. They fall down, they cast their crowns, and they say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." Praise is something that's going to take place in heaven around the clock. Well, I can't say around the clock because there is no time in heaven, but praise is going to be something that happens all the time. I just said all the time. I said I wasn't going to. I don't know how to articulate it in other way. It's just praise is going to be taking place there. It's never ceasing. There you go. Never ceasing praise. And the scripture says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the Lord is to be praised. When we come into this place, the first thing we're going to do is praise the Lord. Why? Because we enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter His courts with praise. The way we get into a place where we can experience God's presence is through giving Him thanks and giving Him praise. And if you want your life to be changed, church is not the answer. The presence of God is the answer. And the way to get into His presence is thanksgiving and praise. Can you say amen? You know, it's a good thing when you see 8 or 10 people come down to the altars. When the pastor says, "If you need God's help in your life, come forward." 8 or 10 people come forward. That just goes to show how important it is that every person in this building praises when we come together. Because there's always people who come that need God. And your praise could be the very thing that ushers in God's presence, so that the individual who's seeking God and needing God can find what they're looking for. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And then it goes on to say, the Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. I love this line. Who is like the Lord our God? How many of you ever just feel like that is the statement that we should all get tattooed? Not that I think and we all should go out and get tattoos, but if there was ever a tattoo that every Christian should wear, a spiritual tattoo, it should be the tattoo that says, who is like our God? Who's like our God? There's a lot of claims being made today, a lot of talk being discussed today, but the truth of the matter is there is no God like our God. There is no high like the Most High. Can you say amen? There is no God like our God. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? The psalmist says, who is like the Lord our God? You know, that is a powerful statement. How many of you would agree with that? Now, I want to say some things to you tonight. Hope it doesn't rub you too wrong, but I want you to consider it. Number one, concerning this statement, you know, every week we come, we gather to church. People come, they sing songs to God, but rarely do people experience the God that they're singing to. It's true. Gathering in churches all over America, all over the globe, singing to God, but rarely experiencing the God that they sing to. How many of you think there's a problem with that? How many of you think that God wants people to experience Him? We say things like, oh, who is like our God? He is great. He is awesome. There is none like our God. But yet when we get together, we're satisfied with singing our three favorite songs, even if we don't experience God at all. We read books about God. How many of you have ever read a book about God? But we neglect to build a relationship with God. I know people who have read more books than I am years old probably this year and have not experienced or developed their relationship with God. They have a lot of knowledge right here. How many of you know people who have a lot of knowledge right here but are not changed by what has been placed between their two ears? So people spend a lot of time reading books about God, but they neglect to build a relationship with God. We sing songs when we gather about God's presence, but we never take the time to actually enter into His presence. And we say things like, who is like the Lord our God? We can spend our whole life, and this is the thing that really scares me. It really bothers me as a person who is in the ministry. That people could spend their whole life in an organization centered around God and never really come to know God. That they could spend their entire life from birth to death in an organization in which everything is centered around God without ever really knowing God. It happens, friends. It happens. And I want you to know something. It is time for you and I to come to know who God really is. How many of you want to know God? Really want to know God? Tired of just knowing about God? Tired of being told about God? You would say, you know what? I believe in my heart it is time for me to really come to know God. Listen to what Paul says. Here's a real life story told in the Bible that articulates the very things that I'm talking about. In Acts chapter 17, as Paul and his missionary team is out on a missionary journey, they come into this area called Athens. And this is what the Bible says. Paul then stood up in the meeting and he said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious people. Were these folks religious? Absolutely religious. According to Paul, he said, I can just walk through your towns and I can tell by the statues, I can tell by the inscriptions on your buildings, I can tell by the things that you put out to reflect to the people coming into the area what your values and what your ideas are. He said, I can tell that you are religious people, but listen to what he goes on to say. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects, everybody say objects. Objects of worship. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we have objects of worship, but we never really encounter the God that we worship. It's true. You know, and we need to break past that and come to a place where we really know who God is. But Paul goes on to say, I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship. Stop and listen to what he's saying. You want to be spiritual people. You want to be people who are spiritual, who are alive, and who have life in them, but you're ignorant about the one you worship. And he says, for this reason, I'm going to proclaim it to you. I'm going to proclaim to you the God that you are ignorant of. And then he goes on to say, the God who made the world, glory to God, and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples built by human hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives life, everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed time in history and the boundaries of their lands. God, listen to this. God did this so that they would seek him. Do you hear what all is happening here? Paul begins to talk about the things that we all talk about and have been taught. God created everything. God is creator. He gives life to people. Why does God do all that? So that somehow, some way, people might make a decision to seek God. That people perhaps just may choose to reach out to God. God wants to be found. He wants to be sought. He wants to be discovered. He wants you to seek after him as a pearl of precious, a pearl of great value. He wants you to seek after him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and we move and we have our being, as some of your own poets have said. We are his offspring. Everybody say out loud, we are God's offspring. And this is what he goes on to say. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. And here's the thing. A lot of us treat God as an object of worship instead of the person that we should worship. We treat God like an object. Does that make sense? An inanimate object. We treat God like that. Like he's not real, like he's no more real than this bench. And why do I know that's true? Because we never take the time to develop a relationship with him. We just treat God like he's something made of gold or silver. And listen to what Paul says to these want-to-be religious people. He said, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he says, God commands all people everywhere to repent. It is time for people to repent of their ignorance towards God and to really come into a relationship with him. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. It is time for every single person in this room to know God. To not just know about God, to not just be able to quote a few Bible verses, to not just be able to share the Romans road with somebody, but to actually know God. And not treat God as though he's just some concept, but he's a person who wants to be known by the object of his affection, which is us. He loves us, and he wants to be loved back by us. It's time for us to develop a real relationship with God and not just be involved with things centered around God. You know, we sometimes get things out of kilter and out of whack, and we think in our minds that as long as we are involved with things that pertain to God, that we're on the right path. And we get caught up in a lot of religious stuff, but we never really get connected with God. You know, I've seen this happen to people time and time again in church. They get caught up in religious activity, doing a lot of stuff, but they never really connect with God. And so there's something missing, and they know it. They know that something's missing. It's almost like the other day I was taking my, me and a friend was going up to pick up some deer that my daughter had shot from the meat locker. And when we was headed out of town, I was driving my son's truck, and it started to act real funny. It wasn't driving right. Thank God I was right by Brian. Isn't it great to know an honest mechanic? It's kind of like knowing an honest preacher, boy. I tell you, it's just really nice to know an honest mechanic. I pulled into the shop. I said, Brian, this thing ain't acting right, man. It's like firing real funny. And the truck was, it was missing. It wasn't firing on all cylinders. And so it just was, it was acting really weird. It was stalling out. It wasn't performing right. And that's what happens to a lot of people that get caught up in church activity, but they're not connecting with God. They're busy. You know, that truck had everything in it for it to work right because there was a miss in it. It wasn't performing as well as it could. And everybody knew it. Had no power. Wanted to stall when we were going up a hill. When it'd get to a certain RPM, it would start to kind of bog out and act as though it didn't want to go any faster or any further. It was really odd. And you know what? Brian said, oh, I can fix that right up for you. It's just not, it needs a new coil pack on it. And you know, he got it all fixed up. Now it's running like a gem. Why am I telling you? Because this is what happens to us. We get our life involved with a lot of activity, but we got to understand you can't replace activity with relationship. That God isn't concerned with how much religious activity you are involved in. God is more concerned with, are you building your relationship with me? See, it's time for us to stop equating spiritual progress with spiritual activity. Okay? Activity does not equal progress. Okay? That's why some people serve, and then they leave. Because they were, it's true, they were serving in their own strength, their own ability, they weren't connecting with God, they weren't building their relationship with God, and so when push came to shove, they didn't have the life flowing through them that they needed. And they were firing on 6 cylinders instead of 8 cylinders. Or 5 cylinders instead of 6 cylinders. There was something missing, and they knew it. It's time for us to develop that. It's time for us to experience who we worship. How many of you would say, I really do want to experience God? I'll tell you, let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you have had an experience with God. It's the only thing that will change your life. It's the only thing. It really doesn't matter who you had pray for you. If you didn't experience God, prayer was just a bunch of bang, bang, and clang, clang. That's scriptural too, by the way. Just a bunch of noise. Because it's not about the things that we think it's about. We just got to get back to a place where we want to experience God. So who is like our God? The first part of this series was what I really want to do to you is help point out some characteristics of who God is to help kind of clear some of the confusion that has grown in some people's lives and get back to a place where we start to really know first who God is. Because we can say a lot of things like, oh, who is like our God? We can say those real nice slogans like a lot of people do. It's almost like nowadays all you got to do is have a good slogan to get people to follow you. Hope and change. I'm going to make America great again. Who is like our God? All you need is a good slogan. And man, you can just build all kinds of things out of a slogan. But the reality is, friend, you and I, we're not about slogans. I'm preaching real good right now. It's not about a slogan. It's about being rooted in the rock, Jesus Christ. It's about developing roots that will be so strong that we will be immovable by the winds and the waves. It is about being firmly planted on Christ, hallelujah. And that doesn't come from slogans. That comes from developing a relationship with Jesus. We talked last week about part of our understanding of God must be that our God is Father. He's not just God to us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Aren't you glad that He's more than God? He's truly Father. That's who God is. And when Jesus came to this earth, one of the most quoted verses that you'll ever hear is Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you who are weary and labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you know that the verses right before that, Jesus said, no man knows the Son but the Father, and nobody knows the Father but the Son, and whom the Son chooses to reveal Him to, and then the very next words out of His mouth is, come unto me. Jesus was talking about the fatherhood of God. They hated Jesus because Jesus didn't call God, God. Jesus called God, Father. They hated Him for it. He had an intimate relationship with the Father. And it set Him apart from all the religious people. They knew and truly were jealous of what Jesus had. That's part of the reason they wanted to kill him. And ultimately, the reason that they did kill him was because he was jeopardizing their power structure, which was based around people and not God. It was based around religious activity and not relationship with God. And they killed him for it. He said, "Come to me, and I will show you God as Father. I want to reveal the Father God to you." Can you say amen? Amen. It's part of God's nature is to be Father. And those who come to Jesus, God, Jesus will reveal to them God as Father. And it'll change your life. You'll never feel unloved again, ever. Even though some people may not treat you with love, you will always know that you're loved by your Father. You won't have to worry about your needs being... I'm telling you right now, you do not have to worry about your needs being met. Why? Because you got a Father who loves you, man. And the earth is His and the fullness thereof. He'll take care of His people. If you believe that, say amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about this next part. Who is like our God? Well, number two, our God is Creator. This is so important. And I really believe that there's a purpose for the lie of evolution. Look up here at me. Evolution is a lie. It is not true. You did not come from apes. Some of you act like apes, but you did not come from an ape. You act like it. I've gone over there and seen some of you at dinner time. My gosh, bunch of savage animals over there. We might act like apes. Not everybody, but some of you, yeah. Need to crucify your flesh already, okay? Nonetheless. We are not offsprings of primates. We are created by God. Amen. There is a reason that lie has been sown in this earth. I want you to know something. When you remove the Creator God from the equation, even people who have faith have a diminished faith. Even in an area where people believe, they start to believe a naturalistic type of faith. And there's nothing naturalistic about God. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And until we come back to a theology as God being the Creator, we will not experience the supernatural power of God. Because there's some things that are missing in the body of Christ that are only going to be discovered and found when people start worshiping God as Creator. Yeah. We're going to talk about why that needs to happen. Listen to what takes place here in Revelation chapter 4. It is so awesome when you start to consider God as the Creator. By the way, do you know what your children are taught in public school? I'm going to tell you what they're taught in case you're not involved in their life. They're taught that you came from an ape and gave birth to them. I would be offended if a teacher told my kids that they came from an ape. I'd have to march right in the room and say, "Do I look like an ape to you? Do I look like an ape?" I mean, how silly do you have to be to buy into that stuff? Did you? Let me just kind of debunk the theory of evolution. It was a theory. Some crackhead smoking too much stuff came up with, who thought he was real enlightened. Do you know the Bible says that God will cause the wisdom of man to become foolishness? Look at how foolish the wisdom of man has become, that men can dress like women and go into the women's bathroom and that be called enlightenment. That women could come together with other women in holy matrimony. That men could come together with other men in holy matrimony and that it be called enlightenment. That we are more enlightened today than we were 50 years ago. So we have to embrace these things because it's what intelligent people do. That is ridiculous. You cannot make, you know, you take a 3-year-old kid and they know that's a hunk of garbage. They know that's not true. You know why? Because you can't fit a round peg in a square hole. It just don't work. You understand what I'm saying? You don't got to be a genius to figure it out, but what you do have to do is be deceived by what men call wisdom, but is really foolishness. That's the doctrine of evolution. It appears to be enlightened men sharing revelation with people that is really foolishness. If evolution was true, and if you really evolved from an ape, how come there's no remains of anything in between? How come they have never found the remains of whatever it was that evolved? In other words, if it started out as goo, and you know that's what they say, it started as goo, and then a little spark occurred, and next thing you know, out of the goo came you stuff. It's just weird. I mean, it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. How many of you understand what we're talking about right here? The Big Bang, the goo, and then you. A lot of hairy animals in between, and then all of a sudden, Brian popped out. And I know he might act like a primate, Cherry, but we know he's not, okay? He is fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully. The Bible says that God knew me in my innermost being, in my mother's womb before I was formed, that God knew me. Why is life sacred? Not because a woman should be able to choose whether or not life should be, but God gave life, and only God can give it, and only God can take it away. It's not about women's rights. It's about God's rights. He's the giver of life. Oh, women don't like that preaching, and I don't know what to tell you. Get over it already. It is about God as the sovereign creator. Evolution, back to this. You know, there's no remains found of anything in between. If we evolved from apes, then how come they can't show us something that lived in the middle time frame? You know why they can't? Because there was no middle time frame. They'll never find a human being that looked half like an ape. Because there never was one. You gotta be absolutely dull to buy what they're selling. Boy, and they're selling it by the gallons. Revelation. Why, and again, I don't want to miss my point there. Why is it important? Because most of what we believe in the kingdom of God, it stems from our absolute certainty that God created everything. And therefore, no matter what is missing, He can still create whatever is lacking. You know why there's not great faith in the earth anymore? Because faith has been perverted. And rock-solid theology has been watered down by I don't know what. I'm going to read you some verses. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things. In heaven, the truth is always proclaimed. There is never a lie proclaimed in heaven. And in heaven, they say, God, You created all things by Your will. You know why you live? Because God willed you to live. Do you know why you came to be? Because God willed you to be. God wanted you to have life. He has a purpose and a plan for it. That's how important you are. And that's why the enemy works so hard to convince you that you're worthless and that you're no good and that you'll never amount to nothing, because God has a special purpose for every person's life. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. God is creator. We must never forget that our God is the creator. Never. Why? Well, He made the light and He separated. I'm going to share with you the six-day creation, okay, that you'll find in Genesis chapter 1. He made light and He separated it from darkness. God did that. There was no light. Look up at me. There was none. It had never existed before. There was no light until God said, Let there be light. God spoke into nothing and made something come out of it. Why is this important for us to know? This is the whole concept of faith. This is why we can believe that our life of emptiness and voidedness can become something spectacular, because God once upon a time spoke into nothingness and commanded what did not exist to come to pass. And when God said, "Let it be," it be'd. He said, "Let there be light." And light burst into being. Everybody say, burst. It wasn't a slow process. I've heard some people say stupid stuff like this, and they think they're super, you know, smart Bible theologians. Well, how do you know that creation was really a six-day process? Because to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Good night. You're stupid if you talk like that. God is God. And God said, "Let there be light." And boom, light exploded. I kind of do believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said, "Let there be light." Kapow, there was a bang. And then there was light. An explosion took place. And light burst into being. It didn't happen over the course of 10,000 years. The moment God said, "Light be," guess what happened? His words made it happen, because God is creator. I can feel people's flesh right now. I can sense a spirit of unbelief resisting these things. Do you know why? Because they're so powerful. When you start to realize that your Father God is Father God and Creator God, then you really start to have the faith that is needed for the impossible to come to pass in your life. You will throw away slogans like this: once an addict, always an addict. You'll throw that slogan away. Do you know why? Because God spoke into nothing and commanded something to be, and what He said to come came out of nothing. Number two, He made the heavens and the earth. He made the land and He separated it from the waters. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made fish and birds to fill the sea and to fill the air. He made animals, and then He made human beings to fill the earth. God did all of that, and He did it in 6 days. He could have done it in one moment if He wanted to. It's not like God needed 6 days. God could have said, "Hey, light be. Water, separate from land. Birds, multiply. Fish, multiply." He could have said it all at once. But He chose to do it a special way, in a specific way. And that's the way He did it. And that's the way it happened. And I know people wonder, well, how can you be so sure about this? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is a faith thing. God said it happened that way, and I choose to believe God. I'm definitely not going to believe Charles Darwin. Man, he was smoking crack before there ever was crack if he came up with that idea that we all came from apes. He was getting on something weird. I tell you, that's screwy stuff right there. It takes more faith to believe in that nonsense than it does to believe that a supreme being simply said be and everything was. And you know, why is it so easy for children to believe these things? I'll tell you why. Because God has wired in us. He has wired in us something that makes us long for our Creator. But over the course of a lifetime, what happens is people start to dull that away. I'm glad that I know God as Creator. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds," everybody say worlds, "by faith we understand." So don't be alarmed when scientists are finding new things. He still created it all. You know, science is proving that light is still expanding. Science is proving this. That light is still bursting forth as man is creating new ways to measure and tell us, whatever those things are called, scopes to see further out into the universe. They're seeing things that we didn't even know existed. But just stop and consider how great our God really is. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, they were not made from things which do appear." In other words, everything that you see came from something that you cannot see. The things that we see and touch and feel and we can be part of in this realm, they all came from a place that you cannot see. Why is the theology of God as creator so important? Pastor Richard, you're making a big deal out of something that doesn't seem that important. It's so important. It's very important. Number one, because there will be a day when you need His creative power. Look at me. Don't get distracted by the Harley Davidson, okay? There will be a day in every single person that is listening to this message's life, there will be a day when you need God's creative power. And you better believe that God is creator. Because if you don't have faith in God the creator, then there will be certain things in your life that you will never get to experience. Because only God can make them happen. Only God can. Let me just stop and ask you, do you think that God has the ability to make arms form on people who have none? He did in the Bible. People with deformed hands, their hands were made normal in an instant when Jesus touched them. People who were hunched over and crippled, hunchbacked, a woman who was crippled, Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham be loosened from this bounds that Satan has kept her in these 18 years? And immediately she was straightened up. Jesus did these things. And here's the thing. If you don't believe God as the creator, you'll look at stuff like that and you'll fall on the side of medical science. I get so sick of hearing preachers preach about medical. God's creator, man. There's nothing He can't do. He can make somebody that was mentally retarded just like me in an instance. Do you know why? Because God's creator. Some people don't think that's possible. It's possible. If people can believe, it's possible. You know, there's things that are absolutely impossible, and God makes it possible the moment He says it. We're going to look at one of those. There was an impossible story told in the Bible. It's impossible for it to happen, but it happened. Do you know why? Because God said so. Everything is possible by His creative power. Number three. There are things that are missing in all of our lives that only His creative power can produce. Number four, understanding God's creative ability is truly the key to the supernatural. God has creative power in His words. When He speaks, His words create what He commands. Why is it so important for you to have a relationship with God? Because in a relationship, there's communication. You talk to God, and God talks to you. And when God speaks, there's creative power in His words. I mean, you hear from God, and everything changes. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, the spoken Word, the rhema Word of God. That when God speaks to us, His Word gives us faith to believe for what He said. Number three, if it was missing, it was formed the moment God spoke it. If there was something missing in your life, if there was something missing in a marriage, if there was something missing in a relationship, the moment God speaks it, now there's the possibility of it coming to pass. Number four, if it was impossible, it became probable when God said that it would be. Everybody say, God is the creator. Genesis chapter 1, here's the beginning of the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was what? Formless and empty. There was no form to the earth. Everything was formless and empty until God spoke. And when God spoke into the formless void, life came out of it. I tell you, man, God is creator. How do I know that God can do something with your life? Because He's creator. Well, Pastor, I don't have nothing to offer God. You got life, don't you? You got breath, don't you? That's all you need. He is the potter. We are the clay. He takes the lump and He fashions it into His likeness, into His vision, into His dream. He makes it what He wants it to be. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. You stop and consider what God is doing right now in this service. God's Spirit is just hovering over people right now. There is so much powerful potential present here tonight for chains to be broken, for whole attitudes and mindsets to be changed. I mean, it could be forever changed tonight if you would open up yourself to the truth of who God is as Creator. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and of course, light was. 2 Corinthians, now let's connect that to some New Testament stuff. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. You know what happens when you get born again? You are recreated. You are made new. Everything that used to define who you are, it's no longer what defines you anymore. Why do I know that's true? Because I believe God is Creator. I want to read you this story real quick. Most of the time you hear this story at Christmas and we never really stop to consider the creativity that was involved in the Christmas story. How many of you know it's impossible for a girl to have a baby if she's never been with a man? How many of you believe that's impossible? How many of you would say there's no way? There's absolutely no way that somebody can give birth unless they have intercourse. It doesn't happen, does it? How many of you know that does not happen anywhere? It don't happen in Missouri. You know what I'm saying? It don't happen nowhere. It don't. You can go as deep south as you want, and it can't even happen there. You can go to as far of the extremities of the earth as you want, and it can't even happen there. But it happened once. I want to say that to you again. It happened once. There was a virgin birth. Oh, that's not a theory. That's the reality of Christ our King. He was born of a virgin. Oh, that's impossible. Not when God says it will happen. Not when God spoke through the prophets that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. It's not impossible anymore. The angel came and told Mary that you're going to be with a child. Listen to what Mary says. She says what any logical person would say. How will this be? I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High. Stop and think back to Genesis. The darkness covered the deep. That the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness. The Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness. And then God said, light be. And light came to exist. And now the angel says, when Mary says, how will this happen? It's not possible for me to have a baby. I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. And the angel says, the Spirit of God will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Did you hear that? No word from God will ever fail. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Would you stand up on your feet, please? That verse 37 that says, for no word from God will ever fail, is literally translated, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Why? Because God is Creator. Stand up on your feet, please. Lift up your hands in this place. I'll tell you, when I look out at this bunch, it is so important for us to believe that God is Creator. Because our lives are a mess. And there are things in all of our lives that I'll tell you, they never were there. I mean, you know, there was never the ability for some people in this place to ever do. I mean, the cards were stacked against you the moment you entered this world. But guess what? God is Creator. I want to say that again. God is Creator. And what your earthly mother and father was unable to give you, what the environment that you grew up in tried to steal from you, God can put in your life in an instant. For God gives life to the dead, and He calls things that are not as though they were. You know, you've stayed the same for far too long. You have. You've been this way for way longer than you need to be this way. I'm talking to some people right now. Bow your heads, close your eyes, open up your heart. It doesn't have to be this way anymore. Pastor Richard, how's it going to change? Because God is creator. Pastor Richard, I've never been able to not use drugs. God is creator. Pastor Richard, I've never been able to walk away from these things. God is creator. Pastor Richard, the doctor told me that it would always be this way. God is creator. He is creator. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It is by faith that we understand that everything that you see was formed by the word of God and His command. It was God who said, "For I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans to prosper you and not harm you." It was God who said, "I sent my word to heal your disease." It was God who said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive, freedom to the prisoners, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." That this is a time of God's favor in your life. That God is for us, not against us. That God wants to bless us, not curse us. That God wants to strengthen us, not destroy us. God said those things. That's why they'll come to pass. Lift up your hands right now. What is in your mind the impossible in your life? Is it a family member who has told you to shut up and never talk to me about God again? Is it a spouse who has walked away from you and your family? What is it that you would say, "Pastor Richard, it's not possible"? All things are possible with God, for no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. It's not a matter of is it possible. It is a matter of will you seek God and will you keep going after God until you hear from Him instead of man, until you hear what He has to say about the situation instead of what others have had to say. Will you seek God? Lift up your hands real high and say out loud, "Father God, I believe that You are still the Creator. You have creative power. There's nothing that You cannot do. When You speak, what is formless becomes formed. You have called me Your masterpiece. And even though I feel like a disaster, You're going to make me what You want me to be. You're going to form me into Your masterpiece. I'm not going to resist the things that You want to do because You are creator. I'm not going to worry about the things that I can't see because You are creator. I'm not going to worry about what natural law says can't happen because You are the creator. You are greater than natural law. You are greater than our understanding." That's what I believe. See, our faith is firmly built upon one of these truths, these truths of God. He's the creator. I want to speak something over your lives right now. Just open up your arms like this so that you can receive. I really feel led of the Lord to do this. I declare right now by the spirit of faith that is in this place that individuals will no longer look at their lives and at their past and let that determine what can come in their future. For tonight, truth has gone forth in this place. For tonight, faith is being sown in the harvest field of God's people this evening by faith. And God, I declare that as people hear these words tonight, they will not soon forget what you have spoke to them. I declare, God, that what has been spoken tonight is going to overtake every area of their life in Jesus' name. I believe, God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that your mighty Spirit is going to raise up the standard. I believe, God, that rather than focusing on what doesn't exist, people will begin to cry out to the God who makes things exist, because you are Creator. And we will no longer look at you without first remembering that you call things that are not as though they were. So anything is possible if we can believe. And we choose to believe the best and hope for the best, because that's what love does. In Jesus' name, I declare these things to be. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you guys being